All right. So the Seder, I guess we've fallen into somewhat of a routine that for Pesach, rather than giving Divrei Torah, although that was the style once upon a time, we kind of like take a look at one topic in the Seder and hopefully have a better understanding of it. So I guess I don't know why this became the topic this year. It's probably one of the least focused parts of the Haggadah, but amazingly, I found multiple Divrei Torah on this one piece of the Haggadah. So, I suppose what that does for you is it pretty much guarantees you a Dvar Torah that no one at your Seder will have, because usually this is the part of the Seder that we rush through. It's the Psukim, one after another, where we're Darshan. And on top of it, this is probably one of the strangest, most uncomfortable of the entire Drasha Psukim sections. So in case there was, let's say right before it, you have Paru Vayishutzu Vayirbu Vayatzmu Ma'od, that every woman had six children. Then we get up to this and nobody really wants to translate it. I looked at seven or eight different Haggadahs on it, and I was not surprised to see that Art Scroll definitely does not translate it literally. Art Scroll has a nice translation of it, but it's not actually a real translation of it. So here we go. Varav, Kamash Nemar. So the word Varav describing the Jewish people. Kamash Nemar, Rivavak Itzemach. So you were like the vegetation of the field. Vatirbi, Vategadli, Vatavo Badiadayim, and you grew up and you came with a crown, or not a crown, with jewelry. Shadayim nachonu, your breasts were developed, usarech tzimeach, and your hair was grown. Ve'at erom ve'eriah, and yet you were naked. So obviously you can see right now why Art Scroll would stay away from the literal translation, because they don't like to write things like that in their translations. But the image is of this young girl who is not so young, who is now developed, and yet she's completely naked. And I passed by you, and I saw you were wallowing in your blood. That probably is the Art Scroll translation of mitboseset. And I said to you that you will live in this blood, you will live in this blood. Or, yeah, something like that. Okay, so that is the part of the Haggadah. So what exactly does this mean? And is there anything that we could learn or relate to this? Okay, so anybody want to take a stab at it before I share multiple Divrei Torah? Has anybody ever given a Dvar Torah on this at the Seder, by the way?
Not that I recall.
Has anybody ever heard a Dvar Torah on this at the Seder? All right.
No, I've struggled with it quite a few times.
Okay, so at least you should be guaranteed, based on life experience, that if you take this Dvar Torah to your Seder, the likelihood of someone stealing it is pretty small. Right, there are certain like textbook Divrei Torah or high volume areas in the Seder that if you prepare that as your Dvar Torah, there is a good chance that either you're gonna get hit with a bottleneck of traffic and then you're gonna be like, oh, forget it, I'm not sharing this Dvar Torah, or you're gonna end up with someone sharing your Dvar Torah. Okay, so let's take a look at the Abu Draham. The Abu Draham, I usually don't use the
Can you
key.
mute Steve Toplin? Anyway, sounds like a loud noise coming from Steve Toplin.
I'm trying to figure it out.
So the first Dvar Torah is the Abu Draham. Now, the Abu Draham, I normally don't quote the footnotes, but it is important because it seems like it's not really his idea. It seems like it's the Ritva's idea. Ironically, I looked in the Ritva's Haggadah, and he doesn't say it. So go figure. ורב, כמה שנאמר, רבוה כצמח השדה נתתיך, שהיו גדלים אליהם כצמח השדה בלא שום צער ועמל. So what was great, says the Ritva, quoted by Babu Draham, is that you were rivava ketzemach hasadeh, you were growing like the vegetation in the field, below shum tzar v'amal, with no pain and no suffering. One of the most incredible things about stuff that grows in the garden is it just happens, it just comes. It's interesting. We did Berachot Ha'ilanot on Sunday night, which seems like a million years ago, and we took our kids out to the tree right across the street from our house, our parking spot, and we saw this like the bud of the tree. I don't know. In America, it never really spoke to me to do, even though I know that you can probably go to the Torchiner's house. And one or two other people that, you know, almost advertise, if you will, that you can do Berachos Ha'ilanos. I don't know, I never got around in America. But here it's like so hard to not do it since it's all over the place. And I turned to my children and we found the bud. And it's I don't know, probably the size of like a Lego head. That's how small it is, a small bean. And we turned to our kids and we're like, that's going to become a pomegranate. And it's like amazing. You could really see every couple of days you go out, or maybe a couple of weeks you go out, and you see the next step and the next step and the next step. It's painless. It just happens. That's the beauty of the way things grow. So the Abu Draham says that's the same thing as the Jewish people. They grew below shum tzar v'amal. Since Varav is talking about the child that becomes a adolescent who then becomes a I guess a little bit older than that. So. Actually, probably an adolescent, right? That would be what we're talking about. We all know as parents that that is not below shum tzar v'amal. You don't make it from a baby to a 15-year-old with no tzar v'amal. And even the children don't. So that's one possibility. So then the second possibility is davar acher. Ma tzemach hasadeh kol ma shegoz zin oto yoter tzomeach tzomeach. So what's amazing about vegetation is that the more you cut it down, so the more it grows. Kach yisol kol masho minyan otam shemanyan otam ayu parim varivim v'chein hu omer v'kasher yenu token yirbe v'chein yifrotz. The amazing thing with the Jewish people, the more they were cut down in Egypt, the more they grow. So think about it, when you cut a piece of a branch, what ends up happening? So from the spot that you cut, instead of it just growing back as one, it often grows back as two. That's how you gain more there. Okay, so that's his second answer. Okay, so we have two answers of what's going on in Varav. The idea is that the Jewish people grew either effortlessly, or the Jewish people got beaten down, the more they grow. Probably. What we would say nowadays, it's not really 100% that part is accurate, because the Jewish number does not seem to grow, despite the fact that we are, that we've been around for so long. But the fact is, no matter what happens to us, no matter how much we suffer, we still survive, right? The fact that the tree gets cut and cut and cut and cut and cut, and it's still there, that is something that is remarkable. Okay, so that's Abu Draham. Let's take a look at Rashi. This is a pretty famous Rashi from, it's a good question. I want to say Bo, probably. Vayalacham l'mishmeret, zelashon bikur. So when it says l'mishmeret, that it will be for you in l'mishmeret, it is Torah of the Korban Pesach, it is lashon from bikur. Sheta'un bikur mimum arba yamim kodim shechita. That before one shechts the Korban Pesach, it needs 4 days of watching to make sure that it has no blemishes on it. God willing, in, I don't know, I was going to say a few weeks, but it's not true, in a few days, it'll be Pesach. Halavai that Mashiach should come between now and Erev Pesach. But were it to be that on Erev Pesach, we had to bring the Korban Pesach, we would walk through the market, wherever that will be. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it was along the road up to Har HaBayit. You would walk along the road and you would drop your two zuzim and you'd buy your goat, right? You didn't have to buy it 4 days before, make sure it has no mum. So why is it that by Korban Pesach that you did that 4 days or before? So Haya Rabbi Matya ben Charash Omer. This is amazing because we all know this medrash. I would bet that every one of us knows it, but we probably have no idea who says it because we pick up from the second part of it. But Rav Matya ben Charash said, Hare Omer Vavor Alayich Verebe Hine Eight Dodim, that I came and I saw that it was the time of my beloved. The time came to redeem my son, my children. The problem is that the Jews had no mitzvot in order to get redemption. As it said that you were naked. This is our part of the Haggadah. God gave them two mitzvot, dam Pesach and dam Milah, the dam of Pesach and the dam of Milah. Shemalu boto alayla. That was the night that they got bris Milah. Shnemar mitvoseset b'damayich. They were wallowing in the blood. B'shnei damim. V'omer gam at b'dam b'tei shilach de'asirayich m'borei mayim bo. V'lofish ayu shtufim b'avoda kocha v'mar la mishku kuchu lachem. Because they were steeped in blood. God says, Mishchu, go and take, ukechu lachem, and take for you, Mishchu yideichem avodas kochavim, ukechu lachem tzon shel mitzvah. So it's almost like a sur meira ve'asei tov, sur meira, remove yourself from the evil, that is Mishchu, take, get rid of the avodah zara, and take for yourselves a mitzvah. Okay, so the second possible answer is what's going on here, is that we have this girl who's grown up, but yet she has no mitzvos. She's naked of mitzvos, and God gave the Jewish people two mitzvot by Pesach. They have Damila and Dam Pesach. Why these two? That's the question that we have to understand. Now, you will probably remember, if you're learning Sefer Yoshua, that back in Perek, I want to say Gimel, but maybe Dalet, What happened? The Jewish people, 40 years later, find themselves in Eretz Yisrael for the very first time in the city of Gilgal, and they also do what? Korban Pesach and Bris Milah. Okay, very good. Okay, so that is our second answer. Moving along, I know back in the day I used to bring lots of Haggadahs, And I would show everyone, you know, different Haggadahs to recommend. I'm not getting up to go get the Haggadahs, but if you are interested in buying a new Haggadah and you're looking, so the next Dvar Torah that I'm about to share is from the Rabbi Freyand Haggadah. It is very user-friendly, Dvar Torah for your Seder. Okay, so I'm going to share with you the Psikta de Rav Kahana. I thought that I was never going to be able to find the Psikta de Rav Kahana to share with you. So what did I do? I Googled it. And Sefaria has the entire Psikta online. So it was great. Really, I only want the third part of this Medrash. But I think that by sharing the rest of the Medrash, A, you get yourself two more Divrei Torah. So that's always nice. But it happens to be, it's a beautiful Medrash. It's a pasuk from Shir HaShirim. This is the Zeba. I hear the voice of my beloved skipping on the mountains, coming through the valleys. Almost seems like a Sound of Music kind of moment, right? What I actually never seen the full thing, but you know, when they're like dancing in the meadow to get escape and be safe. Okay, so that's what it sounds like. So what do we have? We have three interpretations, at least, of this pasuk. Rav Yehuda v'Rav Nechemya v'Rabbanan. Rav Yehuda, Omer, Kol Dodi Nezabai Zeh Moshe. When we're talking about Kol Dodi, the voice of my beloved, it's from Moshe. V'shasha ba Moshe, v'amar li Yisrael, v'chodesh hazat ha-nigalim, amru lo, Rabbeinu Moshe, he'achanu nigalim. So when Moshe came to the Jewish people and said, ha-chodesh hazat lechem, it's Rosh Chodesh. It's 2 weeks before Pesach. You're about to go free. He said, the Jews say to Moshe, how can we be saved? Didn't God say to Avram Avinu, that you'll suffer and you'll be enslaved for 400 years. Hello, ain't biadenu ela matayim ve'eser, but it's only been 210 years. Now, I often speak about what did the Jews tell their children when they were in Egypt? So they told them stories of Eretz Yisrael, and particularly they told them stories of Chevron, and specifically they said that, you know, Bubby and Zadie, Saba and Safta, Grandma and Grandpa are buried there. That's where you have to go back. But I never thought about the fact that the Jews probably also knew one other detail, a pretty important one, that they would be there for 400 years. Now imagine being there in year 210 and saying to yourself, oh my God, there's still another 190 years to go. And I'm 50 years old. There's no way that I'm making it out of this exile alive. So that's what they say to the Jew. That's what they say to Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you want? We're not going out. It's 210 more. It's 190 more years. So Amar Lehem, Hovu Chafetz Begulatchem, Einu Mabit Becheshbenoteichem. So they answer back and say, since God is the one that wants our redemption, He's not looking at the calculations. God is not going to figure out the years. Ella Midaleg Al Harim, Mekapetz Al Gvaot. Midaleg al hakitzim v'alachesbonot v'aleiburim. God is going to skip over all the different calculations, all the different amounts. It's going to be okay. V'chodesh hazeh atem nigalim hachodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodeshim. And you're going out now. Okay? So that's one interpretation of the pasuk. V'nechemia omer kol dodi hine zeh ba. It's Moshe. Sheba v'amar li yisrael v'chodesh hazeh atem nigalim. Amar lo Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu Moshe. Heyach anu negalim, ve'eretz Mitzrayim leya metunafot avodah zara shelanu. How can we be redeemed? We are full of, and Mitzrayim is full of our idols. It's not just the idolatry of Egypt, but it's our own idolatry. Amar lehem, holvu chaveitz begulatchem, einu mabit b'avodah zara shelachem, ela medaleg al harim mekapetz al hagvaot, ve'en harim ela batei avodah zara. So harim are the houses of Avodah Zarah. Why? Why are mountains that considered the houses of Avodah Zarah? Because where did they place the houses of worship in the ancient world? On the top of the mountains. Why? Because it gave you visibility from all around. So God says, I'm going to skip over the house of Avodah Zarah. Hichma de'at achad omer al rasharim is bechuv al gvo ikteru. Okay, because in Hosea it says that they used to bring on the mountains and on the valleys. Okay, so that's the second answer. V'rabanan amri called odine zaba ze Moshe. It's also Moshe. Shabbat v'amar li yisrael v'chodesh zetem nigalim amru lo Rabbeinu Moshe heyach atem nigalim ve'em b'yadenu masim tovim. So what do they say to Moshe Rabbeinu? They say, Moshe, how can we be redeemed? We have no mitzvos. We have nothing in our hands. Amar lehem hol v'chafetz begulatchem einu mabit maseichem araim. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, since God wants to redeem you, it doesn't matter what you have in your hands. You will go free. I think that what Rabbi Fran is saying is something amazing. He's saying when it's time for the geula to happen, there are no cheshbonot there. And really, in all three of these pieces of the Medrash, it's the same idea. There's no calculations. When God says the time has come, the time has come, and we are ready for redemption. Rav Pam, quoted by Rabbi Fran, takes it one step further. So he shares a story from Malachim Bet, Perek Yudalit. Actually asked this question before. Just by reading the psukim, this one pasuk Chav Gimel, I want you to tell me if you think he's a good king or a bad king. B'shnat chamesha seishan el Amatziyahu ben Yoash, in the 15th year of Amatziyahu ben Yoash, Melech Yehuda, he's the king of Yehuda, Amatziyahu, Melech Yeravam ben Yoash, Melech Yisrael b'Shomron, 41 shana. There was a king in Yisrael for 41 years. His name was Yeravam, the son of Yoash, the king of Yisrael. You think he's a good guy or a bad guy? This is Yeravam the second, by the way, not the first. Everyone take a guess?
50-50 shot, right?
It's true.
Bad.
Bad, why? Surely he's right, but
you got it.
talking about Yeravim? Yeravim. Or are you talking about... I'm not
sure. You're talking about Yeravim. Yeravim the second.
Yeravim's bad. So first of all, the king that has a longer reign than been first. And second of all, the more favorable guy is going to be first.
Okay. All right. All good answers. I would say one other answer. If you named your kid Yeravim back then...
No, he's their bad guy.
Right. You weren't like, oh my gosh, I have high... I have high hopes. High hopes for my kid. It's, well, you might have high hopes, but not necessarily the same high hopes of really hope my child turns out to be a tzaddik. We have friends who have a kid named Yosef Shalom. Why did they name him Yosef Shalom? After Rav Elyashiv. He was born after Rav Elyashiv had passed away. It would say bracha that this kid should be like Rav Elyashiv. If you name your kid Yeravim, you're also hoping that he emulates Yeravim. Not necessarily a good thing. But Yasarab Einei Hashem, if you want confirmation that he was bad, he did bad in the eyes of God. Lo sar mikol chatot Yeravim ben Nevat asher achti Yisrael. And he did not change from the ways of Yeravim ben Nevat, who had made the Jewish people sin. Hu eshive gvul Yisrael milavo chamat ad yam ha'arava. And he had expanded or returned the Jewish borders up to Levo Chamat, which I believe is up in the Golan, Ad Yam HaArava, until the river, the Yam HaArava, Kidvar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Shodei Rabbi Yadavdo, Yonah ben Amitai, Anavi Hashem Gat Chefer. As Yonah ben Amitai, it's Yonah's other less famous appearance in Tanakh, as Yonah had prophesied, Ki Ra'a Hashem Etani Yisrael, Mora Ma'od, Ve'efes Atzur, Ve'efes Azuv, Ve'ein Ozer Yisrael. God saw how bad the situation was for the Jewish people, and nothing was going to help. And it was that God saw that there was no way that the Jewish people were going to do tshuva, but God wanted the Jewish people not to be wiped out, so he saves them. Says Rav Pam, this is where it's at. God knows that sometimes the Jews are hopeless, and yet he redeems them anyway. Okay, so that is our fourth or fifth answer to what exactly is going on by Varav. Is that things are bad, and yet somehow God says, I'm going to make it happen, I'm going to save you. Okay, the Rabbi Kron Haggadah. If you're looking for good stories for your Seder, every Dvar Torah is just a story. So he asks, what's going on in this part of the Seder? So he tells a story of the Klosenberger Rebbe. The Klosenberger Rebbe survived the Holocaust, and he lost his entire family, many, many, many children, 10 or 11 children, his wife, and that's it. He survives, and he's in the DP camps afterwards, and he gives the people chizuk afterwards. They're pretty powerful stories there. He came to America. He rebuilt the Jewish community of Klosenberg, and then eventually moved to Israel, where he built another community, built a hospital, an orphanage, all kinds of infrastructure. And the question is, what gave the Klosenberger Rebbe this strength to do it? So he said that the reason that people from the generation of the Holocaust thrived afterwards was that somehow they got the strength from mitboseset b'damayich. V'omar lach b'damayich chayi, v'omar lach b'damayich chayi. So Rabbi Kron says, what does this have to do with anything? Yeah, okay, great, that the Klosenberger Rebbe was able to be so successful. And so many of our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, nowadays, we have to say great-grandparents, survived the Holocaust and came and rebuilt from the ashes. How did they do that? And how does this pasuk connect it? So he says, "Bidamayich," we assume is with blood, but he says, if you take a look at Vayikra Yud Pasuk Aleph Shmini, "Vayichu ben Aaron Nadav Avihu Ish Machtato Veinu Behen Eish Vayisimolek Ketor Vaykriu Lefen Hashem Eish Zarah Shelot Ziva Otam." We're probably not going to have a Chabura on Parshat Shmini this year because Thursday is Motze is the last day of Pesach in America, is it, or is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Isru Chag is Friday, right? Okay, so I imagine that at 10 o'clock at night, when Pesach is over for a little over 2 hours, most people will not be able to attend the Chabura.
Not even.
Okay, so right, so that's confirmation that everybody's wives
with a bagel in hand, yes.
Okay, so if anybody wants a chabura, you'll let me know afterwards if there's enough people. I'll do it, but I assume that probably not. So this is, you can consider this the mini chabura for Parshat Shmini if we don't get there. So the Pnei Aaron Nadav Navi, they bring an Eish Zara that they weren't commanded to do. And the fire comes out and kills them, and they die. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, this is what God had promised. This is supposed to happen. And Aaron is silent. So Vayidom says Rabbi Kron, that when we have the pasuk Va'omar lach bedamayi chayi, you were silent. You were silent. You wallowed in the blood. It's not true. It's not blood, but it's silence. The strength of the Holocaust survivors is that they were able to be silent in the absolute suffering that they saw and that they endured, and yet they were able to rebuild from that. Says Rabbi Kron, it's the same thing for the Jewish people. How are the Jewish people able to come out of Egypt and be so, or even in Egypt, how are the Jewish people able to grow and thrive under the circumstances that they were living in? Bedamayi chayi. It was in being silent. The Jews suffered in silence, and they were able to use that to create dreams, and the blood of their dreams gave them the stamina to be successful. Rav Rimon, which is the Haggadah all the way to the left, which is really hard to read, says blood generally signifies death, but here was transformed into a sign of life. The blood sprinkled on the doorpost as part of the Pesach sacrifice saved the people inside the home, and the blood of the Brit marks the beginning of a Jewish man's spiritual life. The Jewish home was saved through blood. Blood is usually bad. Blood is usually death. Here, blood is life. Okay, so you have two more answers. I have two more answers I want to share with you. The last answer actually is where this topic even came from, is Rabbi Kenneth Topsky. I saw this when we were up to Perek Gimel and Perek Dalid in Sefer Yoshua, and I was like, this could possibly be something to save for a chabura, and so I didn't really fully go into it, but I guess I'll share with you a little bit more right now. So there are two mitzvot. There's the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and there's the mitzvah of Mila. They're obviously very different mitzvot. Korban Pesach, although they both involve nowadays eating, right? You would eat at a bris, and you eat at the Korban Pesach. You're surrounded generally by people, but the bris is a very personal thing. You can imagine that Avraham Avinu's bris, the first one of the Jewish people, was not a public thing, but he brought it. He privately got his mila. Yes, the entire house also got mila, but everything was an individual obligation. It's all about the person. It's all about the family. And the Korban Pesach is the exact opposite. It is as tziburi, as public, as communal as you can possibly be. Take a look at the Bereishit Yud Zayin. Vayi Avraham ben Tishim Shana v'Teisha Shanim. Avraham is 99 years old. Vayira Hashem el Avraham vayomer elav ani kel shakai talech lefai v'yei tamim. What is the message? What is the purpose of the Korban Pesach? It's the message that God says to, I'm sorry, of Mila, is that it's the message that God gives to Avram. You do bris Mila as part of Hitalech Lafanai Vayetamim, in order to walk with me and be complete. Okay, so that is the idea of Korban Pesach. It is a personal obligation, but it makes us whole and tamim. And then you'd bet Zayin, V'klumin Adam Natu Hashem Zuzot Al Mashkof Al Batim Asher Yuchlu Batem. You took the blood and you put it on the doorpost. It is a big debate. Was it on the inside of the doorpost or the outside of the doorpost? Obviously, the big debate would be whether it is for you or for everybody on the outside to see. They put the blood there. And so what will happen? You'll pass over God will pass over the houses and won't destroy the Jewish people. Says Rabbi Kenneth Topsky, there are two parts to this mitzvah. The blood is the internal, the individual, and there is the external and the public, and the tzibur, the communal. That's what's going on here. And then he says that by Korban Pesach, the message that God needs us to hear is that there we need to focus on both. That and he says that, you know, there's the communal, which is, you know, making sure that we perpetuate the Jewish community, creating all these the buildings and all the things necessary, the infrastructure to ensure the Jewish people's survival. He gave this drasha in the 50s or 60s. So he points out then, maybe even in the 40s, he points out then that there's such a tremendous focus in building on of the family, building of the community. So he says what often was lost there is that people donated and dedicated so much of their time to make sure that their families were successful, that the Jewish community was successful. And then they forget that they also matter. The individual also has to grow. The individual has to make sure that they are doing things to be their best version of themselves. And that, says Rabbi Kanatapsky, is what's going on here. There are two bloods, and they are the lifeline of the Jewish people. It's the individual, and it is the communal. But we're left with one question. Is that enough of a reason why we have these two mitzvos? It's possible that we could find two other mitzvos that represent the dynamic of individual and communal. And for that, I share with you the final Dvar Torah of this section of the Haggadah, and the final Dvar Torah of this year is from Rabbi Spiro's Haggadah, touched by the Seder, or stories of the Seder, one of those. So he tells the following. He says that there was a man who survived the Holocaust, who was incredibly successful in both Ruchniyat and Gashmiyat. He did good for himself. And thank God his children, his grandchildren, were also followed in his path. So at the bris of one of them, his grandson came to him and said, I want you to be the sandik for my son. And he knew that his grandfather was going to say no, because his grandfather had rejected the offer to be sanduk at every bris in the family to date. So he said to his grandfather, he said, Zadie, I want you to be the sanduk. And his grandfather said, I'm sorry, but you know, I'm never the sanduk. So he said, but why? Why do you refuse to be the sanduk? So he said, because Vavor alayich v'reb osesef b'damayich v'omar lach b'damayich chayi. He said, I saw all the bloodshed, and I saw all the destruction of the Holocaust, and v'omar lach b'damayich chayi. After seeing all of that, I just can't be that close to blood. I suffered in blood so much I can't see anymore. So the grandson turned to his grandfather and said, Zadie, you're actually making a mistake. You see, you stop at the first one, but the pasuk continues, v'omar lach b'damayich chayi. It says it a second time. Yes, it is true that you wallowed in the blood of destruction, in the blood of karban. But now is time to give yourself the opportunity to bask in the blood of mila, which is the blood of growth and the blood of success and the blood of future of the Jewish people. He says that's an important message that one needs to have. And perhaps that's also within the Varav, Vavor alayach v'reb mitosese b'damayach v'olomach damayach chayi v'omalach damayach chayi. There are two parts to the blood. There is the blood of destruction, the blood of suffering. And yes, the Jewish history is so full of that suffering. But there is also the blood that Rimon calls the blood of life, the blood of vitality. That blood also is there. V'omalach b'damayach chayi. I think it's important that at some point in the Seder, when we talk to our families and we share messages of the Seder, one of the messages that has to be focused on is not that the Jewish people always suffer, but it's that the Jewish people have this lifeblood within them that allows them to prosper and allows them to continue to grow and to be all these years later. And perhaps that returning to that budram, which we started with, perhaps that's the idea, is that, yes, there is so much suffering, but the more you cut the plant, the more the plant grows. The more the Jewish people suffer, the more they effortlessly grow. That really is the Jewish people's mantra. I said it was last of October, but I have to share one last one. Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg says that it's important to note that the night of the Seder is not about information, but it's about transformation. I think that that's an important piece to remember, that it's not just the ideas of, okay, we have a nice Dvar Torah, and you know, all these things. But the night is supposed to be in some way a night of change, a night of making ourselves our best version of ourselves and to grow. I think that there is, to me, a lot of Torah here in the idea of a Rav, Torah of growth, Torah of transformation for the Jewish people. Somehow the Jewish people, despite the fact that they find themselves in a adolescent state of nakedness at the time of leaving Egypt, not only do they leave, they grow, they thrive, and shortly thereafter, they go from just being a downtrodden nation to Am Yisrael standing at Har Sinai, getting the Torah and being charged with the idea of being an Am Segula. Have a Chag Kosher v'Sameach. Hopefully everybody enjoys their Seder, and it is inspirational for all that are there.